Hello, and welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said that looks can be deceiving, and we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me as we journey today through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath that surface. We are here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. You mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. It's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started. Today is Mother's Day, Sunday, May 8th, 2011, if you're listening live, and obviously not if you're listening through the recording. And so I want to start by wishing everyone out there, especially the birth mothers and the stepmothers and the adoptive mothers and all the other versions of mother, including grandmother, a happy Mother's Day. But I'd also like to extend that out, because mother is not just a being. It's not just about what comes out of your womb. It's about what comes out of your heart. It's an energy. And so I'd like to extend that to each and every one of you, wishing you a happy Mother's Day to that divine mother within you, that peace that is there to help you nurture yourself, your creations, those around you that you love, and, well, anything else you feel called to nurture, your causes. So as we step forth here, once more, I want to ask each of you, to the degree that you're willing, to open up to connect with this community, the community of listeners to the show, both live and Memorex, the community of light workers on the planet, and the community of mother energy. And allow yourself to breathe that in. Take a couple of deep breaths and just take that in and let yourself feel that. Feel that energy of nurturance especially. That's one of the primary pieces of the mother energy, is the energy of nurturance. So allow yourself to feel nurtured. Feel safe. Feel taken care of. And feel connected, out there into this larger body of energy workers, of seekers, of light bringers and light bearers. And today, because it's Mother's Day, they've inspired me to do some work with the imagination. So, before we go any further, I want you to just check in, see if your imagination's working or not, and see if you can imagine a pink elephant. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. We're going to come back to the pink elephant later, but I just want each one of you to connect to the imagination, because we're going to use that a lot today, at least theoretically. That's the vision I have for what I'm going to talk about, but you never know what's coming out of my mouth until it gets out, so we shall see. Now, mothers, that energy also brings up the energy that goes with it, the energy of the child, which part of the energy of the child is that energy of imagination, which we're going to be exploring here today. But we're going to be using the imagination to explore one of the, stereotypical anyway, questions of the child. And some children ask this incessantly, to the point that the mother or the father, the teacher, the other caregiver, gets to the place of saying, and most of you, I'm sure, have heard this. I know I did. Because I said so, as the answer to the why question, because I said so. So we're going to talk about why is life the way it is? This is a fairly big picture, topic today. And yet, hopefully, through what they've given me to offer to you and whoever is going to be channeled later, we'll bring this in and ground it in a way that is usable, that is practical, and that really can help on a daily basis to deal with all there is to deal with out there right now. So, where do we begin? Where do we begin? Well, I like to begin with a question that people ask all the time in session, and they get pretty much the same answer. Everyone who asks this question gets pretty much the same answer. Doesn't matter who I'm channeling. It doesn't matter what other pieces that they're working on in their lives. But the answer to this question of what is my purpose comes back pretty darn consistently, because we all have a similar reason for being here. And it's not what most people seem to think it is. When most people ask that question, what is my purpose? Why am I here? So it does come around to why. What they're looking for is, tell me what to do. What's my job? What's my gift? What am I supposed to be sharing out there with people in the world? How am I going to make a living? Those are the kinds of things that they're looking for. But the answer that comes back over and over and over again is that our purpose is to experience. They gave a phrase several years ago that has always stuck in my head, and they return to it periodically depending on who they're talking to, that we are here to be the nerve endings of God. Well, what are the nerve endings? In our fingers. They're the places where we actually feel, where we perceive whatever it is we're experiencing. And that signal gets sent back up through the nervous system to the brain, where it registers, where we register the experience. But we're here to be first and foremost the registers of experience, of all varieties of experience. They talk about the divine. I talk about the divine. We talk about the divine as being the all. Some of you may use that term more than others. Some of you may not use it at all. But what that means to me is literally everything we can possibly imagine, good, bad, or indifferent, is all part of the all. It's all part of the divine. And so we're down here experiencing some of the infinite variety of what's contained in the all. We're experiencing it. We're also creating it. We're co-creating it with each other, with all the other beings that are down here. But at that first level, we're here simply to experience, which I think is a big piece of why so many spiritual teachers, so many masters talk about being in the moment. Because that's what the moment is. It's about the experience. It's about what's going on right now. So if I ask you to experience your clothes, if you're wearing any, you'll focus on that. You'll connect in with that particular piece of your experience in this moment. The more aware we are, the more awake we are, the more connected we are, the more of the infinite variety of experience that every moment contains, we will connect with. Because it's part of the human physiology, part of the human structure, that we stop paying attention to certain things when the refrigerator cycles on and off. Becomes something that we ignore at a conscious level because it's not something that affects us. It's not something we need to care about or pay attention to. And yet, it's actually part of what the moment is if we're in a room where that's part of what we can experience. And it's not to say that everything within every moment has the same importance or value from the human perspective. But from the divine perspective, it's all part of the package of experience that's going on right now. And so, as we come more into our divine power, as we come more into our mastery, we experience an expansion of how much is registering. For instance, right now, I can hear a plane outside. I'm sure you can't hear it through the microphone, but I can hear it. And it's not something that would normally register. There's traffic going by on the street. This is a fairly heavily traveled street out here. The traffic noise is incessant. If I paid attention to that, if that were always registering on my consciousness, I probably couldn't get anything else done because it would impinge so much on what I was trying to do or to focus on. And yet, in my now, it's there. So, what am I trying to say? Well, this experiencing of the now, coming into the now, is in many ways that underlying purpose, of simply being the experiencer. Now, at the second level of purpose, if you will, that they give out in the channeling anytime someone asks that question of what is my purpose, the second level of purpose is still not your job. It's still not the work that you're here to do. It is rather to expand your divinity. Now, in many ways, that's the same thing as the first one, because as we come into the moment, as we come into the experience more fully, we need to open to our divinity more to allow that to happen. So in many ways, these two overlap each other a little bit, but it is slightly different because most people who would be listening to this, that's what they're seeking, that higher experience of their own divinity within them and of the divine patterns, the divine path of their life, the divine flow of energy, both to them and going out from them. And, well, why do I bring that up at this point? Because when we can realize, And this is something that they often will tell people, because the focus is, well, what's my job? Well, even the most extreme workaholics among us, I'm going to work 80, 90, 100 hours a week, but that's not every hour. That's not every hour. If our purpose were just our work, we would do nothing else. So really breathe that in. I don't know how much it connects with what you already would think yourself or what you know, but breathe that in. My purpose is not my work. It's not the same thing. And just let that go. Let some of that energy fall off of your shoulders. And when we flip this around, that the purpose first is just to be in the experience, and second, it is to maximize the experience and therefore the expression of the divinity that we are in every moment. The more we're doing that in every moment, the more automatically the work that we do is that expression that comes naturally from inside of us. We automatically discover the pieces of things that we are here to do and to share. But that is a process of coming to know ourselves, of coming to know and expose the master within. As we expose ourselves, as we expose our light, we naturally bring to us the people who will not only allow us, but encourage us to share our light, to share who we really are at the core, to share our truth. And as we do that, more and more our work changes. Now, interesting thing about that is that it isn't necessarily what we do that has to change. It's how we experience what we do. So in many cases, again, this is something that has come up in certainly more than one of the sessions that I've offered individuals, they're trying to find a way to find the next job, the next work that is more in alignment with their divinity. And again, it's not that they're told, don't look for another job, but before you do that, look for more divinity in what you're already doing. In other words, set a more conscious intention to bring your divinity into whatever it is you're doing. If you're dealing with people, bring more divinity in. Well, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, it means more love, more acceptance, more compassion. You bring that in, and it will change how you experience the work you're doing. As you bring the divinity in, literally the experience changes. Because that's one of the core things that's going on down here. As we are bringing more divinity in, we're finding that there's no such thing as a bad job, bad work to do. There's only how much am I present in my divinity, in my power, in my conscious choice while I'm doing it. And the more you're in that conscious choice, the more you're in your divinity, the more divine whatever you're doing is going to feel, the more right it's going to feel, the more you're going to not only give to it, but to receive from it. Because it's not something you're doing in spite of your light, something you have to do because you can't allow yourself to be your light. It's something that you're doing that gives you an opportunity to share your light. So, I start with that, but I want to come back to that initial question of why and to the imagination aspect again. And I want to talk about something that, well, probably about 9 or 10 months ago, a number of people started receiving some of these teachings that I'm going to be bringing to you now. And it was a very unique experience to bring through. It's not something I've come across anywhere else. That's one of the things I do like about doing the channeling is that quite often they'll bring through information, wisdom, tools, teachings, etc. that surprise me, that are extensions. They fit very nicely in what I know of my truth of reality. Often, sometimes they break pieces off and replace them. But this was one that fit very wonderfully with a whole lot of other things that I knew to be true. And it really had a transformative power for me and for many of the people that it was presented to. But again, I'm going to set that aside for just a moment. And I'm going to bring back that pink elephant. So come back to your imagination. Bring the pink elephant back in. And let's talk a little bit about perception. And there is, well, I don't even know what to call it, a story, a teaching story, I guess, about an elephant and a number of, I think in the story it's 6 blind men, and they're brought to the elephant, and they get together after they went to experience the elephant, and they're talking about what an elephant is. And the first one, who was brought to the tail of the elephant, grabbed hold of the tail and connected with that, said, well, an elephant is like a rope, because that was what this guy connected with. And the next one, who was brought to the other end of the elephant and connected with the trunk of the elephant, said, no, not a rope, more like a hose. Elephant is more like a hose. And the third one, who was brought to one of the legs of the elephant, and that's what he felt, said, no, you guys are crazy, it's more like a tree. And the next one, who was taken right to the side, the belly of the elephant, said, are you kidding? Much more like a big boulder, a rock, huge. Next one, who was taken to the ear, said, oh, much more like a big leaf, a huge leaf from just a large tree. Last one, who was taken and connected with the tusk, said, no, much more like a sort of a pole. And was each one correct? Yes. Was each one incorrect? Well, they were incomplete. Incorrect equals incomplete, as far as I'm concerned. It means we don't have the full picture. If we're doing something that, or experiencing something in a way that we don't like, or in a way that is not the same as others are, we have an incomplete picture going on. And one of the pieces of that, and now I'm coming back to that teaching I was talking about a minute ago, one of the pieces that can explain that is that we tend to think of ourselves as one person, one thing walking through the world. And yet, we're not. Take a deep breath. We're not just one thing. Yes, we have a body, a physical body. We have a physical experience of the world. But we also have an emotional experience of the world, which at times seems very at odds with the physical experience. And we also have a mental, a mind experience of the world, which at many times seems very at odds with the physical and the emotional. And so what they brought through as a teaching was basically this, that we are at war within ourselves because we have these different things, and for most of us, most of the time, they're not being used the way they are intended to be used. Now, what do I mean by that? How can you use your physical body? Well, you can move it around, etc. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about it in that sense. I'm talking about it in the sense that each one of these three bodies is here to give us feedback about the world. Now, like those blind men at the elephant, the physical body is going to have a different perspective on the world than the emotional body and then the mental body. And it's not that it's wrong. It's simply that it is perceiving one portion of what is going on. The emotional body is perceiving one portion of what is going on. The mental body is perceiving one portion of what is going on. In one of the gateway sessions that came through recently, they talked about ideally we want to have the divine adult as the decision maker, as the one who is the part of us that is making the choices of how we go through life. And these aspects, the physical, the emotional, and the mental, are each giving us feedback about how to make the best choice. Now, one of the things that's happening, because each one has its own perspective, each one thinks it's right. And because they're often at odds with each other, and I'll get to why that is in a moment. But because they're often at odds with each other, we have trouble. I don't know about you, but I often in my life have had difficulty making decisions because it seems like part of me is saying one thing and another part of me is saying something else, and they're not agreeing with each other. So I don't know who coined this phrase, but we get analysis paralysis because there's, in many ways, too much information there because we haven't been trained how to sort through it. We haven't been trained even, for instance, that that's what's going on, that our physical body, our emotions, and our thoughts are each giving us separate perspectives on what's going on, but they are not in enough awareness to be wise decision makers. So let's go further into what these three bodies have in terms of how they're looking at things. I'm going to give you some more imagination here. Imagine yourself as, well, let's see. Well, as yourself. But inside of a room filled with gold and jewels, all kinds of physical riches, and you're in there sitting on top of the pile, and there are three dragons there. Now we're getting into the imagination part. Three dragons there, and they are there to help you, because you're sitting in the middle of the room, you don't have a good view out the windows. So each one of these dragons is looking out of one of the windows. And why don't we make this room triangular? That way there's one dragon on each side. And they're looking out in different directions, or experiencing out in different directions, because I'm going to change this vision a little bit. And one of the dragons has very good eyesight, but can't hear and can't smell. One of the dragons has wonderful hearing, but can't see and can't smell. And one of the dragons can smell everything, but can neither see nor hear. And each one of you is reporting, each one of the dragons is reporting to you what they're experiencing. Well, in this equation, you can see that you're not getting the full story from any one of them. That's obvious in this image. That's obvious in this vision. Because each one is giving you a different experience from a different sense. Well, you can think of each of those dragons as being one of your bodies. One is the physical body, one is the emotional, one is the mental. And it really doesn't matter necessarily. The image is not that refined, which one is which. But each one of them has a different priority. And this was the piece that was so powerful for me. Each one of them has a different motivation, a different priority in what it is seeking you to do in relation to the world. The physical body, and this made perfect sense when it was said, but the physical body's purpose is to keep you alive. That's its primary motivation, is to keep you alive. Now, what comes out of that is that the physical body is what we might term exceptionally conservative in its approach. I'm not talking politics. I'm simply saying that the physical body wants to do what it's done before that didn't kill you. If it didn't kill you, its motivation was met. And so if you do the same thing again, well, that's a good thing because it didn't kill you last time. All right. So that's the first dragon. Take that in. And then we go to the second dragon, the emotional body. And what's the emotional body's motivation? Well, the emotional body's motivation, as you might expect, being about emotion, is the avoidance of pain and the seeking of pleasure. Well, now what does that tell you about how it's going to make decisions or how it's going to try to influence you to make decisions? Well, quite frankly, it's going to be much more exploratory, much less conservative. Why? Because the emotional body is going to look at experiences you've had before, not from whether you survived it. That's not good enough. If it was painful, if you didn't like it, if it felt bad, the emotional body is going to try to get you to make a different choice next time. So you have the physical body trying to keep you to make the same choices. You have the emotional body trying to get you to make different choices. What does that say? Well, that says that you need to be clear in a larger perspective if you're going to get past the paralysis of these two fighting each other. Now, let's look at the mental body. Because the mental body is the one in most cases that's in charge. The physical and emotional are at a stalemate. So the mental body steps up. Well, what's the mental body's motivation? Well, I would put it this way. It's finding meaning, understanding what's going on. Now, remember, the mental body doesn't have the full perspective anyway. It does not have the full perspective. It's not seeing what you're seeing. Let's imagine the roof is off that building and the pile of gold is high enough that you can see 360 degrees around. You can connect with everything. But you can also see that the dragons can't see the whole perspective. Well, two of them can't see at all. Anyway, but most people end up making the choices out of the mental body because that's what's left. They're not connecting with their divinity fully enough to be able to make those choices from the divine level, taking into account what the mental has to say. Yes, the mental's trying to figure it out, which the mental is great at rationalization. It's great at justifying things. It's great at finding finding conspiracies, imagining things that are going on in other people's minds. Have you ever done that? Somebody says something or they do something and you go in and create this whole story about what it is you think the other person meant by that. Now, what story you come up with may or may not be true to their actual motivation, but that's very irrelevant to the decision-making process, to you being in your empowered free will and choosing what you would do next. So, I hope that makes sense. I'm not sure I explained it as well as they have explained it to lots of people. And if any of you have any questions about it based on what I brought up so far, by all means, email me. Let me know, and I can perhaps address them on a future show. But what does this help us with, knowing that the three bodies are at war? Well, one of the things that, again, they offer quite regularly in the channeling is that until you come to a place inside yourself in a given moment where you're not at war, you're not making a clear choice. You're not making an empowered choice. Now, that is a little bit easier than it sounds to come to that place of inner serenity. Because one of the first things to do is to thank each one of the bodies for its perspective. Physical body, I'd like to thank you for letting me know what you think about this decision. I'm going to really breathe into that, connect with it, and we'll see what choice I make. But I'm being the adult here. I'm going to make this choice, okay? But I want you to know I really value your perspective. But I'm not going to make a choice that is truly going to put you in danger knowingly. And you talk to the emotional body, and you say, thank you, emotional body, for giving your perspective. And I really feel it. I'm breathing into it. I'm connecting with what you have to say. And I'm going to let that feeling move through because I got the message. I don't need to keep hearing it over and over again. You don't need to keep raising your voice to get my attention like the child throwing a tantrum. So we give thanks for it, and it can move. It can change. In fact, as we accept that we're experiencing this in the emotional body in this moment, it's that acceptance, that acknowledgement that actually allows the energy to change. And it not only allows it, but it causes it to. Because each one of these bodies is here to give us feedback, not to be the ones in charge. And so we move to the mental body, and we, again, same kind of thing. Thank you for all those thoughts. Thank you for the perspective. No matter how much you may have gone around in circles or not gotten the clarity, I do appreciate all the work you've done to try to help me figure this out. But I'm going to breathe into everything you've been thinking, and I'm going to let that go as well. And I'm going to go into my place of power. And so let's do that. Go within, breathe into your solar plexus, your upper abdomen, your gut, and just feel that power there. And I like to feel that, and this is also part of the fun of the dragon image. I like to feel that like it's a miniature sun in there, like the fire that the dragon is breathing is in there. And let yourself feel that fire. Feel that center point. And connect with it in the heart as well. Whether you feel two separate places of energy or whether they merge into one, eventually they'll merge into one. If that's your goal, to connect with your power in that way, your very centered power. And then from there, we can ask, okay, I've got the perspective of my three dragons, my physical, emotional, and mental bodies. Now I choose to know the highest choice from my divinity, from my divine adult, from me as the divine mother of me. And one of the interesting things is you may well get an answer that is the same as what came from the physical or the emotional or the mental bodies. But when you come to the answer in this way, you trust it more. Because this is taking all of what's going on in your life into account and seeking to know your answer from that highest place. So that is a little bit of why, from a couple of different perspectives, a couple of different levels of talking about it. And, well, that's, I think, enough for me to talk about. But I will step into a slight commercial announcement by our sponsor. Today's sponsor is once more me. And I would like to put this out there. If you're getting value out of the show, out of what I'm sharing, out of the channeling, I would just put it out there. You might consider, whether you have in the past or not, you might consider stepping up and having a private session where it can be focused exactly on what it is that you most need. Now, I have had people respond to the show, and thank you for the feedback, by saying it felt like I was talking right to them, directly to them in things that I've shared. So that's wonderful feedback. But I can say if you do have a private session, you will get to ask questions that are very specific for yourself. You will get detailed and fairly clear steps to take to move you from where you are now forward on your path in the direction you're desiring to go. So I'll just leave that there. I will be offering a special sometime in the next week, both for one session and for people who open or add to a prepay account. So look for that. But let me know if you're interested in a session. I am here to serve in that way as well. So that's the end of the commercial announcement, and we move on to transformation time, which, as you know, is when the channeling begins. So the connections are all made to allow this to happen. What I need from each one of you, to the degree that you're willing, is to just take a few deep breaths. And while you do that, I will do the toning that they adjust the energetic frequencies within my field and within the shared energy field here that allows the channeling to take place. So, welcome, dear ones. This is your mother Earth. Some of you would know me as Gaia. Some of you would not have a name for me in this form at all, but it does not matter, because I am here for you. And so I would encourage you, not only now, yes now, but not only now, whenever you feel uncertain, that you would simply breathe and open to connect with me. Because I am the most certain thing that you can connect with. It is not that there are not other certain things there. You have masters and teachers and guides and angels and, well, a whole, shall we say, entourage of support. But I am very palpable. much more so than many of these others. You can connect with me even when you are feeling at your worst and feeling completely separate from the support that is in the more spiritual dimension, so to speak. Some would say that it's not actually true, but all you have to do to connect with me is look out the window or go out the door or even just breathe. If you are breathing, you are breathing me in. Because I am not just the earth beneath your feet, I am the atmosphere that surrounds you. I am what you experience every single moment. And because of that, there is a special place within your toolbox for me and our relationship. If you fall down, literally, physically, who is there to catch you? Well, that would be me. If you fall down energetically, metaphorically, emotionally, mentally, who is there to catch you? That would still be me. I am here. I am here. And even though you have left your physical mother's womb, you have not left mine. You are wrapped up in the amniotic air that surrounds you. It is the most important piece of your physical existence. And it is you breathing in me, breathing me through you. It is you connecting and receiving from me, whether you are aware of that in any given moment or not. But the more you claim that awareness, the more at peace you become, because the more you remind yourself that, yes, you are out in the world, and yet the world surrounds you, and therefore you are safe, and therefore you can connect to support. And as you connect more and more fully to support from me, then you can open more and more fully to support from these other beings, the entire entourage that is there to support you. But you cannot escape nearly as easily from my support as you can from theirs. Because even in your most unworthy experience of yourself, you are still breathing at least a little bit. You are still pumping the billows of my life force through you and making it your own. You are still receiving my love. And yes, we would agree that gravity is love. And the love that we have for you, each of you, is infinite, even as you are infinite, because we love all of you, all of each of you. That love is infinite, and it is unconditional. In truth, dear ones, we are not here to be saved by you. And we are not here to save you. We are here to help you to remember what you have come here to remember, which is your divine light, which is your divine power, which is your divine expression. You are truly here to not only create heaven on earth, but to recognize Heaven is on earth already. Eden is not a place that you can look for on the map and discover in your history. It is a level of consciousness that you have been seeking to remember since you came into the body. It whispers in the back of your consciousness, individually and collectively, because it is that state of knowing that you are divine, that you are perfect. It is the state that you came from before you entered the physical dimension. It is still true, even though you are not experiencing it fully in each moment. But your divinity has never left you. And no matter what you have done it as a divine being. And so, as your mother, we say to you, give yourself a break. Give yourself a little bit more forgiveness today. Nurture yourself today. Do something that you deeply enjoy. Do something that you feel honored to experience, that you feel lifted as you experience. And it can be as simple as smelling a flower or as walking barefoot on the grass or as holding a rock. But choose today to let yourself do something that causes you to connect more deeply to me, your mother. One of your early commandments, honor your mother. And in so doing, in so connecting to me more fully, you connect to you more fully. You connect to the truth of you more fully. And so give yourself that gift for Mother's Day, even as you give it to us. Because we love to connect with you in a very conscious and a very direct way. But we love you no matter what you are doing. But when you do that, you awaken yourself a little bit more. Each time you do that, you remind yourself a little bit more that there is more to life than the bills or the problems, that there is more to life than the issues, that there is the underlying truth, that even in the moments of the worst despair, whispered around the edges of your consciousness, and so kept you from choosing to leave the body. But remind yourself that you are here to be physical and divine at the same time. By going out to connect to divinity directly through physicality. Taste something today that you love to eat. Listen to something that you dearly, dearly are moved by. And we don't mean moved to tears, it can be moved to dance. So many of you take this path so seriously. It is meant to be laughed. If you would have one deity to pray to emulate, to seek after, be the laughing Buddha. The laughing Buddha gets it. The laughing Buddha gets it. So, we would give you a gift now. Open yourselves consciously. Close your eyes. Allow your breathing to be deep. Open your heart. Open your body. Open your mind. And let yourself receive our love. Just breathe it in. Fill yourself up. From bottom to top, like it's coming out of a fountain. From top to bottom, like it's coming down as rain. From front to back, from back to front, it doesn't matter. Just allow it to come to you. And to fill you. And to aid you to feel you more fully and more truthfully. And you can give yourself that when you go out and wade in the water. Or when you go and watch the sunset. Or when you go and try to make the clouds disappear. Or whatever you might be doing, allow yourself, when you're ready, to the degree you're ready, to let our love fill you. And so we thank you, dear ones, for coming to be a part of us, for coming to be a party with us, for coming into these dimensions at this time when so much magical transformation is taking place, when we are lifting up through the dimensions, through the awarenesses, and you are invited on the journey with us. And so we thank you for choosing to ride the greatest ride, better than any amusement park ride. It is the journey of Earth Ascension. And so, we, your mother, thank you. We love you. We bless you. Enjoy our day. Enjoy your day. And namaste. Ooh, hello again. That's a big energy to channel. She doesn't come through very often, but I'm glad she came through today. Well, our time is just about complete here, so I do want to thank you all for joining me to co-create this here today. I want to clarify something. There is some confusion, which I'm sure is entirely my fault, about the drawings that I'm doing each month now. You can enter each week until that last week. You can enter at any time between this show and the next show. You send me an email. Or you call me, you give me feedback, you send me a question, you send me a topic, you send me a potential guest host, or guest, not necessarily host, I'll be the host. Send me a potential guest, and you get entered into the drawing. And you can do one entry per week each month. And the last live show of each month is when I will draw the winner. And then we'll start from that week on, even if that's, say, the third Sunday of the month instead of the last one. I start adding people for the next drawing starting that way. So hopefully that clarifies it. Thank you for all the emails and the feedback and the questions that you guys have sent me. There will be an upcoming show that will be an all-answer hour where I will deal directly with the questions I've received. I will open up the phone, and maybe some of you will feel moved to call in. I may do it in a couple of weeks when I will have a live studio audience with me. So send me more questions. Keep them coming. I certainly have quite a few, but you never know which ones will get answered by me, which ones might get answered in channel. So the more the merrier, the more the better. Anyway, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. I will be back next week, same time, same place, with my second special guest, BJ King, who is a practical mystic, an artist, a healer, a teacher, a mentor, a friend, a wonderful storyteller. So hopefully you'll join me again then with her out there in the truth within. And remember, you never know where this show will go. So why not expose yourself a little more and invite your friends next week? Take good care. God, Goddess, bless. Until next time, thank you and namaste.